That beautiful track is Inch Time, and it comes from his very first release. It was called Any Colour You Like, and it was originally a self-released mini album in 2004. Before that, we had Scott Tumor and a track of his from his latest album, Dandelion. It was called Free Dirt, and it was a nice piece of drony and beautiful stuff. There's a bit more kind of folky, bluesy Americana on that album, as well as some fairly sort of free-sounding and ambient-sounding stuff. Very interesting artist. But now we've got to Inch Time. He originally was based in Adelaide and moved to London in probably 2005 or so. I think it was about 5 years ago. He was recently in the country, and I had a chat to him about everything that's happened since he left Australia and a whole lot about his music. So let's go.
You know, what I was going to talk about was just your origins and the fact that Adelaide seems to, even though people seem to leave Adelaide in droves, it seems to be a place where there's a quite a productive sort of music scene. I don't know if that influenced you at all, or were you kind of typical?
It did, yeah. I mean, I think Adelaide, certainly back when I started making music, which was... when that was, maybe 10 years ago, or maybe 12 years ago. Yeah, there was a really good scene. And I think Adelaide has that, it's quite distant from everywhere else. So you get a lot of influences from everything, but then you're able to just draw from those what you want without, and yeah, it kind of creates its own scene, I guess. And people, so I think, yeah, there is a kind of a sound there to Adelaide. And there was a pretty healthy community for making music and contacts and yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you know, did you learn any instruments when you were younger?
I did at probably early on. I learnt jazz saxophone at school, and then it wasn't really until, I guess, after I'd left school that I really discovered electronic music.
Yeah.
You know, people like DJ Shadow, Ninja Tune, Metalheads, all that kind of mid-90s sound, which was just, you know, a lot of cross-pollination going on.
Yeah.
And that really got me interested, and from then bought a sampler and, yeah.
Okay. So initially it was samplers, were you not doing the computer thing?
This was probably the time when computer technology was... really just getting to the point where you could use it ahead of more hardware-based stuff. So I started on hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, probably after about 18 months, progress onto more software-based music.
Okay,
yeah.
And by the time even that first EP came out, you will be working with that little string quartet and things.
Yeah.
So how did you... kind of get in touch with people like that? And
that really for that first kind of mini album that I did, that was just collaborating with friends, really.
Right.
So yeah. I worked with the Zephyr Quartet for a couple of tracks, and I think that was through that they were putting an album together, and they were collaborating with electronic musicians for that.
All right,
so I think we did one or two tracks together. And then also worked with other friends like Curtis Lever and
who's
Lord Jim and Zoe Barry, who's I think she's in Hope Diamond at the moment. Yeah.
Right.
So
okay, Curtis also played with Super Science. What did he become? Clue
to Kalo.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice Adelaide connections.
Yeah.
It was a fair while ago now that you moved to London.
Yeah.
Did you go straight to London from Adelaide?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. Probably. I moved over maybe 5.5 years ago, and I went over with my partner just for really just to change the scenery, really, and I think also music-wise, London's just an incredibly vibrant place.
Right.
So we pretty much went straight over there. We did a bit of travelling through Europe first, but I work as a doctor.
As a doctor, right.
Yeah.
And had you finished your studies by the time that you moved over there?
Yeah. So I'd probably been out for about 2 or 3 years. Since I've graduated, I've been juggling music and medicine. Continuously and trying to find a balance, really. So mainly just working part-time locum work in hospitals and then rest of the time working on music.
Wow. So pretty soon, I'm not sure what the chronology was, but you kind of connected with the lovely people at Static Caravan.
Yeah.
And was that a connection that you made once you got over there, or did you really
when I self-released that first mini album, I sent a lot of promo copies off to radio stations and people, and Jeff from Static Caravan, he just heard it and just got in contact with me. I'd actually never even heard of Static Caravan then, and that was just after I left Australia, so I was kind of travelling through Europe, and it was just lucky chance, really.
So is it, you know, you think of London as a big place with heaps of stuff going on, so is there a bit of a sort of little fish in a big pond effect when you get there? And
I guess for my type of music, it's still kind of a small community even in London. And I think looking at, I guess, you know, I'd call my music electronica, and looking at that now, I mean, it's certainly not as popular as it was when I started.
Yeah.
I think things are, for me, I kind of find it hard because I think I'm somewhere in between more experimental electronica and more, I guess, more kind of club music, more kind of up-tempo stuff, like Warp and all the everything else that goes on. So,
So making, creating this label, was that just something you wanted to do anyway, to release other people's music, as opposed to just a way of releasing your own music rather than dealing with record labels?
Primarily it was for my music. I just thought it was good to, for me it was about identity, and rather than being on a record label which obviously has all the other music, it was good to have my own identity through the label. And I think these days, especially with the internet, it's possible to do it all. You just need to set up obviously manufacturing and distribution, but other than that, you can connect a lot easier with listeners than you could.
You've got a nice website that lets people kind of preview tracks and find out about it and everything, which is cool. And what about distribution? Are you going through somebody?
It's through the physical distribution of the CDs is through Cargo Records.
Okay.
They're UK based, but they obviously distribute worldwide as well.
Okay.
And for digital, it's a company called State 51, and they deal with, I mean, both Cargo and State 51 deal with a lot of the independent UK labels.
I guess it's interesting. I mean, I guess it's not immediately obvious to somebody not in the music scene why you would need digital distribution, but I guess that is because there are quite a lot of digital retailers that you sort of need to
get into. There's more and more and more. Uh-huh. I think especially in electronic music, you think of iTunes and Boomcat and Bleep.
Yeah,
they're kind of the big three. There's lots. You've got Spotify and I don't even know the name. Amazon do it now. Lots of people. And I think even MySpace are about to start doing it too. But I think it's, I guess it's from my point of view, it's good to have your music in as many of those areas as possible, really.
Cool. Well, I was thinking about when I heard that you coming up with a label to put out this music, I was thinking of the last big project of yours was the Tearsm compilation, which is a really interesting idea as well. So, I mean, do you mind, since it's been a while since we've talked and had you here, talking a bit about Tearsm and maybe also then going back and talking a bit about the evolution of Inch Time's music?
So Tearsm came about when I just left Australia and we were staying in Switzerland for a couple of months with some friends up in the mountains. And I just at the time I was drinking a lot of tea, and I just had an idea of to do an EP of basically music inspired by tea. I've been thinking about it for a while, and then got to London. I was still thinking about it, and I just mentioned it to other musicians and friends, and a lot of them were, you know, we're all kind of tea drinkers. So then I just kept thinking and thought, well, let's expand it into a compilation and do it like that.
I thought it was an excellent compilation, and there were some really, you know, that Pimon track is fantastic. And when you think of it in the context of tea, it somehow works. So it's interesting that, you know, there are only, as I recall, there are only a few kind of tracks with lyrics that ended up being explicitly tea related.
I think it worked well because it wasn't just, I think probably, you know, if you read the title you think, oh, this is going to be something kind of new age or something, but it wasn't really directly that. It was just, wasn't music to drink tea to, it was more, you know, music inspired by tea. So, you know, and like Tongue, their track was about the Boston Tea Party, you know. So they're kind of taking it.
We're listening to Inch Time. Stefan Pancak from now from London in the UK, originally from Adelaide, and I was talking to him a week or two ago about his music, and he's just put out a new album with a remix album and started a label called Mystery Plays Records to release that stuff. Just then we were talking about this compilation Tearsm that he put out on Static Caravan a little while ago, and we're listening in the background here to the beautiful Pimon track Silver Needle that comes from that compilation, and it was probably one of the first times that we, if not the first time, we got to hear Paul Gough's voice on a musical track singing, and he's doing a fair bit more of that these days, which is exciting. You can also hear Paul Gough, by the way, on Paul's Play Lunch on Mondays at midday, one of the best shows on this radio station, if not in Australia, bringing you 1 hour of the amazing music from his music collection. So it was really great to talk to Stefan from Inch Time, and I, as I think I'm about to say when we rejoin this conversation, Tearsm does go back a little while, but before that, it's sort of, you know, since he's left Australia, even before that, there was a new album out on Static Caravan. I guess his first release was a mini album, so his debut album came out on Static Caravan. It was called As the Moon Draws Water. Before we rejoin the conversation with Inch Time, let's hear a track from that. It was, I'll play No Need to Sign Your Name. You're with Peter Hollow on FBI, listening to Inch Time.
after the first mini album, Any Colour You Like, when I first got to London, I did the follow-up As the Moon Draws Water.
Yeah.
I guess after that was probably Teaism. I did an EP, Thought Objects.
Yeah, which is quite ambient.
Yeah, it was more just about textures and really just, I think it was like an 18-minute piece. And I put it in two parts, but really it was just one long piece. And then since then, I've done a couple of remixes, and the Aurora EP was the most recent thing that's come out. And
very limited cassette. There were some remixes and things.
That was remixes from Aurora. So that was a handful of dub. And so that was, I think we did 150 copies of that. I think there's maybe 5 or 6 left.
Right. Okay. That's not bad.
And that was good. I mean, having made connections to artists with Teaism, I wanted to do a remix EP, and instead of just, I basically themed it around dub. So, so again, I approached Pim and AMPM and Lawrence English, and also Shob Ahmad. And I just wanted to, just interested to see how they would work with the concept of dub.
Yeah, because at least the artists I know, I know most of those artists, but that you don't connect them with dub as such, really.
So
it's quite interesting. And I think in terms of dub, there's a bit of that kind of baseline feel even in your earlier music in a sort of ambient way. So in terms of your processes, the early music, that first mini album in particular has quite a lot of acoustic sounds in it, and so I totally understand why you class it as electronica, but there's always been that, that's why it's fitted to me with some of that Static Caravan sound of tongue and things as well. Were you working kind of really around the computer and the electronics?
With that first mini album, I basically created all the bass tracks, and then I would give loops or copies of those tracks to musicians I knew, and just basically get them to jam over the top and come back with me with something. And then I took that raw data and basically use that as samples, and then I would cut that up and splice it back into the track. So there's always been that electronic process to it, but I like the fact of not using kind of pre-recorded samples, but getting musicians to kind of work off the music. Indeed.
And have you been able to continue that in the UK, or is it more?
Yeah, I've probably done less of that since I've been in the UK. Probably more circumstances. Just been, I don't know. I've just found it easier just kind of working at home. Mm-hmm. So up until now, it's been more just laptop based, and pretty much any live instruments I've used has been kind of me playing instruments, recording into the computer. But I think for me, having finished the new album, I kind of feel like it's time to go back and do some more collaborating. And I'd especially like to produce a whole album in a studio rather than working from a home studio.
Okay. Well, that's always an interesting progression for an artist that's been sort of, bedroom artist in inverted commas.
I think just being a bedroom artist is great in some ways, because it gives you obviously a lot more time, to do it, because studios can be expensive unless you know someone. But then again, it's almost, you can give you too much time, and you can you kind of get bogged down in endless revisions of songs. Yes. And you know,
yeah, you don't have an imposed some limitations there.
And not just that, but just the fact that you're working alone means you're not kind of bouncing off someone else, you know, which is, you know, that's the role of a good producer, is to, you know, is to get that working.
So there's definitely been a perceptible move to some extent towards the club sounds as well, I think, in the maybe with perhaps even with that Aurora EP as well.
I think that's more just the my surroundings in London. I think the my music that I make is more based around, I'd say, house music than, you know, London at the moment, just the whole kind of history of dubstep and everything that's sprouted from that, however you want to call it. So I think for me, you know, that the new album and the Aurora EP were definitely pollinated from that, and going out and seeing, you know, seeing people like Fortet, and especially when he's DJing, you know, he plays a range of stuff, and there's clubs like Plastic People in Shoreditch, which they have the Forward Nights, which is all that kind of post dubstep sound, and there's always a lot going on, and you know, people like Caribou, his new album, that was awesome, but I think now that I finished the new album, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go next. I've kind of got a new project which is more going back to the, like, the Thought Objects EP, which is more immersive sound, more acoustic, and then I think for the next kind of more inch time sounding album, I want to go into the studio and work with the producer, and that would be I think more electronic sounding, like I've been doing.
Definitely, you know, along with this album is the remix album, to the extent that the CD case is a two CD case, so that people can slip it in there.
Yeah.
So are you almost thinking of it as a, you know, as the remixes as part of the kind of complete set? And I mean, how did you, like, some of these artists. One of the, I've now forgotten the name of the guy. Is it Old Growth in Asia?
Yeah, that's a friend of mine, Tristan Coleman, and he's from Adelaide as well.
Okay.
He's also a doctor. He's been working a lot in, I think last year he spent 12 months in Yogyakarta, in Java. He got some funding from the Australian government and was collaborating with musicians there. So that's, yeah, he's a very interesting guy. He's, I guess he's electronic based, but he's also studied composition and he's very interested in working with live instruments and yeah.
Okay. And is he? Can we find him under any other name, or is he's just
not yet?
Not yet.
I think that's the first thing he's released. There is something. I think he has got some tracks up on a website somewhere, but I'm not sure offhand where it is. Yeah. Sure. But I'm sure, you know, not in the not too distant future, he'll be releasing some music.
Yeah, the Icarus remix is really lovely.
Yeah.
Are there any others?
Icarus were just a band that I've just. I'd say they've been a big influence on me ever since their Fiyaka album. Fiyaka.
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce that.
No, but, I'm not sure. Of it. Yes.
So yeah, basically, you know, same kind of thing. I just got directly in touch with them. I hadn't met them before, but I did play a gig with Sam Britton.
Britton,
yeah. At Cafe Oto, and that was organized through the Hello Square label.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Evan Dorian was in London for a couple of months and he organized that with Show. Yeah.
Great. So Cafe Oto is, it seems like a bit of a, you know, a home in London for music.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's this, it's just basically a small cafe in Dalston, which is a real, Dalston's still quite kind of, still a grungy area, but it's, you know, it's one of those places just full of artists and designers basically. And it's a little cafe during the day, and at night time they just have it, just about every night of the week they've got really interesting music on, a lot of Japanese improvisers, people like Marshall Allen of the Sun Ra, you know, Sun Ra Orchestra play there, and lots of improvisational jazz, and even people like, I think next week is going to be Open Frame, which is Room 40.
Yeah,
they've got some gigs there, Chris Abrahams, and
because John Chart was kind of doing the Room 40
UK side
of things.
Yeah, and I actually think he's in some way connected to Cafe Oto as well.
Okay.
So that would make sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for coming along, and hopefully you can. I don't know. You do play a bit live in London.
Yeah.
Too, so
yeah.
It'd be nice if we could get you to play some gigs.
Definitely
in Australia as well.
Next time I'm back, I'll definitely organise some gigs. Yeah.
So I will let you know when Inch Time comes back to the country. I think it'll be a little while still, but he is going to eventually, I think he'll be moving back to Australia. We were listening to Stefan Punchak, who is Inch Time, based now in London and has been making music for quite some time. And we had quite a bit of his music over the last little while. I might recap over some of it. What we're hearing now is the Icarus remix from the Floating World remixes. Highly recommend getting hold of this. As Stefan was saying, it's distributed by Cargo in the UK, which means that a lot of the kind of online places where you can get good music from, at least in the UK, you can find it. MysteryPlaysRecords.com is the new label that Inch Time runs, and he's releasing this album on that label. Floating World is the album. It's a really beautiful album, and the remix disc is particularly also fantastic. The Icarus Wow and Flutter mix we're hearing now, before that the awesome remix from his fellow Adelaide based doctor, Old Growth in Asia. We also heard a couple of tracks from the Floating World album in the background there, Videograms and Suspensions. Going back, we heard some bits from the Aurora EP, from also from his first album, I guess, first full album, which is called As the Moon Draws Water and is on Static Caravan. The full track that we heard in between two segments of the interview was No Need to Sign Your Name. I'm not sure if Static Caravan still has copies of his first mini album left. Maybe they do of the album I was just talking about. But The Floating World is really great and really worth picking up a copy of, out now. And I thought I might play, since we were talking there about the boys from Spartak who run the Hello Square label. Evan Dorian is one of the members of Spartak, and Shobha Ahmad is the other. I thought I'd play their excellent remix of Inch Time. The track is X-Ray Eyes, and this is Spartak's Sly Eye version. To finish off our special and our interview with Inch Time tonight, you're on FBI with Peter Hollow, and you're listening to Utility Fog till 1 a.m. tonight.